are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Grace Life Church in Lake Asbury, Florida. Gather with us Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Clay County Shrine Club or online at thegracelifechurch.org.
Where there are no English speakers around, it's difficult to navigate anything. It's difficult ordering food or getting directions because you don't speak the language of where you are, the culture you're in, and the people listening to you trying to figure out what you're trying to communicate fully recognize that you don't belong there. The story of the Tower of Babel that the kids learned a couple weeks ago illustrates that when all the languages came about, there was so much confusion and chaos because you just couldn't communicate. No one knew the language that was being spoken, unless it was their own language. The Bible speaks as Christians that we are citizens of heaven, that we do not belong here. Paul mentions it in Philippians, and Peter mentions it in his letter in 1 Peter, that we are citizens of heaven. Jesus would talk frequently about his kingdom. He would even tell his disciples that you are to live in the world. You're present in here, but you're not of the world. It's showing the difference that we don't speak the language of the world. As Christians, we don't speak the worldly language. We live in a culture that is sinful, is wicked, that's depraved, and speaks a completely different language than we do. As Christians, we speak biblical language. But what should people hear when we speak to them that would lead them to say, if we're talking to a non-Christian, what could we say for them to look back at us and say, I don't recognize that language, but I can clearly tell these people don't belong here. There's something different about this person. The more I thought about that question, the more I believe that language that we are to speak is the language of gospel thankfulness. As Christians, prayer is the language between us and God. We speak to God because he first spoke to us through his word. The language that we speak with one another is the language of encouragement, where we encourage one another and love one another and thank one another. But what's the language that we speak to non-believers that would cause them to say, that doesn't jive with my language. That's different than what I'm used to speaking. I think that language is a language of thankfulness. If you've ever gone through a tough time, and by tough time, I mean like a bad tough time, a hard tough time, and you're talking to a non-Christian friend, and they just don't understand the peace that you have. Have you ever been there? The Bible calls that a peace that passes all understanding, where you're just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. As Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. There's an old hymn that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. To think about them, to talk to God and just thank him for all that he's done. We have so much to be thankful for that to speak the language of grumbling or unthankfulness is a sin. But God calls us to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Which circumstances? All circumstances. When you're stuck in traffic, is that a circumstance? Yeah, I hear that little bit of groaning there. Okay, all right, we're off to a great start. Traffic is a circumstance. Dealing with your kids is a circumstance. Anything is a circumstance. You stub your toe, instead of saying whatever first comes to your mind, maybe you just say, thank you, Lord, I have feeling in my big toe. Or I used to have feeling in my big toe. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God has called us to speak the language of gospel thankfulness. And here is what unfortunately is seen too much within the Christian church. There's a lot of complainers. I tell you, writing this sermon, I just began listening to how I spoke, and whoa, you talk about conviction. There might be more complaining coming out of our mouths than thankfulness, or more complaining about something that we text or post on social media. Are we known for being complainers or being thankful? That's really the thought that I just want to talk about today. And looking at Psalm 100, Psalm 100 is probably the most popular psalm about Thanksgiving in all of the Psalms. And I want to look at this text and see how we can simply say, thank you, Jesus. Can you say those three words with me? Thank you, Jesus. And how those three words can be the language that we speak every day in a culture that does not speak the language of the gospel and in a culture where we don't belong. So let's read Psalm 100 together this morning. It'll be on your, you can find it on your device. It'll be up here on the TV screen, and we'll read it together, or I'll read it out loud. Read it to yourself at there at the table. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. There's a lot of ways that you can express thanks to someone. The most popular way is, I don't know if it's done much anymore, is just a thank you card. I don't know when the last time you've written a thank you card, but I find thank you cards this weird kind of back and forth. Someone, you give a gift to someone and they write you a thank you card, all right? Is proper etiquette to write back a thank you card for the thank you card? Have you ever thought about this? I don't know. I always get like, man, maybe they leave something in there and you're just like, well, I'll just be on the safe side, write a thank you card for just being thankful. Or maybe you send a text just saying thank you for this, or you verbally express your thankfulness. There's multiple ways that you can express saying thank you to someone. And really, audibly is the best way, where you just turn to someone and just say, hey, thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for all of this. And when someone tells you thank you, doesn't it be like, man, that's nice to hear. That's nice to hear. There's three ways in Psalm 100 that expresses our thankfulness to God, because we are to be a people of thanksgiving. I find the major holidays on our calendar to be, I just have a love-hate relationship with them, I'll be honest with you, okay? Speaking Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, I'm gonna hop on a little soapbox here, okay? Are you ready? We have these calendar events that we take off and we spend time with family, which is awesome. I'm glad they're kind of just wired into our calendars. God, I know many of you are taking like a week off at Christmas, and you've been looking forward to it since July, since the last time you took a week off, okay? So we have these dates on our calendar, but they've now taken away from maybe their intended meaning. Easter and Christmas are no longer about the biblical concepts that these two days represent. At Easter, we dress up nice, we get new clothes, we take a family picture, we go out to eat. We used to, you would do all that and go to church, but now people have realized, I don't really need to go to church. I could do all of that stuff, the Easter baskets, the Easter egg hunts, and just skip church altogether. This is what's happening in our culture. Christmas is the same way, where over the next couple weeks, we are inundated with Christmas lists and Christmas parties and Christmas lights and all of this. And how often do we just stop and think, man, God sent his son to this earth. How wild is that? That there was a moment where an angel showed up to some shepherds and was just like, hey, guess what? The Messiah's here, and the whole sky glowed with the glory of God. Or are we too busy right now chasing next deals and finding the perfect gift for someone who's going, as I mentioned last week, he's probably going to forget about it by next Christmas? These calendar dates are really drive a lot of our consumer tendencies that we forget the main meaning of why they exist. And Thanksgiving's one of them. I mean, there's a day on our calendar where we have to stop and tell people to say thank you. Like, we do this as our family, where we go around thinking of the different things we're thankful for. I'm like, man, maybe I should be doing this every day. Like, I'm literally listening to people, and I'm like, man, should I not tell my family I'm thankful for them every day? Like, my father-in-law, I am thankful for you. I don't think you have to wait till next Thanksgiving to hear that. So, I'm thinking about this. Like, should not we just step back and say, I'm thankful for this person and telling them, I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm thankful for this or that. We are to be a people of thanksgiving. Here's the three expressions Psalm 100 gives us for expressing our thanks to God. Singing to God is an act of thanksgiving. Singing to God is an act of thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Okay, I have heard some of you sing. Go be honest here, all right? There's a reason why you may not be on the praise team. And that's okay. But I tell you what, I would rather hear off-tone singing that celebrates and worship the Lord than talented singing that doesn't care. That's a joyful noise. And I know sitting at your chair and as we're singing, there is the thought of, what if someone hears me? Well, that's why I sing on the other side of the curtain. What if someone hears me? But really, our singing is an act of worship, of saying, thank you, God. And to hear other Christians, other believers singing audibly in thanksgiving to God is encouraging to one another. So we're going to have another song we sing later. It's a perfect opportunity to say, I'm going to sing in thanksgiving to God. Serving God is an act of thanksgiving. Verse 2 of Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. I don't know why the psalmist said there. Maybe he just says, we're going to serve the Lord, but this is how we're going to do it. With gladness. We're not going to serve the Lord with grumbling. We're not going to serve the Lord with complaining. We're going to serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. We serve out of our love for the Lord who sent his Son not to be served, but to serve. We serve the Lord with gladness. And then the third expression of a people of thanksgiving is speaking about God is an act of thanksgiving. The second half of verse 2, come into his presence with singing. We're coming into his presence with singing. And then verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. There's not just singing and speaking in thanks of God. Of telling other people, man, this is what God has done for me recently. In the midst of good and in the midst of bad. This is what God has done. I'm speaking about God is an act of thanksgiving. There is a human response when we experience something great. It's the expression of awestruck. The response to witnessing your favorite team win. Or enjoying the thrill of a roller coaster. Or eating at an incredible restaurant. Is often the response of exuberance. I mean, have you ever been someplace and maybe it's a movie or some type of show or you've witnessed something and you're just like, that is incredible. Or maybe you've eaten something that you're just like, this is great. We get excited about something good. We don't really get excited about the status quo, right? Like, we're at the point now where we've all just eat Chick-fil-A. It's just what we do twice a week now that we're not telling people like how awesome Chick-fil-A is because It's the status quo now, right? But when you eat at a fancy restaurant that has just the perfect steak, I mean, it is seared just right. You know that you could taste it now. Not too buttery, not too salty. Cooked at the right temperature with a good pile of mashed potatoes next to it. There were green beans, but that's too healthy for a dinner like that. And you know, man, this is good. And then you talk about it on the way home. And then you tell someone else about it. This is the human response to experience something great. Above any sport, above any restaurant, above any experience, our response to God should be one of audible thanksgiving. I relate this to just recently, a couple of weeks ago, Julie and I had a perfect calendar set up where we took the kids and we went to Atlanta to watch the Braves play in the playoffs. We found cheap tickets, it was the perfect storm, and we went. And there was a home run in the eighth inning. And hearing that stadium just roar with just this energy that I don't know if I've ever experienced in a sporting event before. Screaming at the top of our lungs in celebration. As Christians, this is how we are to view the splendor and majesty of God. God never strikes out. He never fumbles. He is on top, ruling all the time, to live in awestruck wonder of who he is. Maybe it's not screaming at the top of your lungs all the time in praise to God. Or maybe it's sometimes getting in the car and just letting it fly, all right? In traffic, when you're having to remind yourself to be thankful for all things. But it's expressing audibly the goodness and greatness of God. Here's what Hebrews 12:28 says. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. We are to be people of thanksgiving. Because the goodness and grace of God is not something that we can keep to ourselves. We can't keep it to, if it has captivated us, if it has consumed us, we can't keep it to ourselves. We can't stop talking about it. It's wonderful. It's magnificent. It's incredible. Because more than fans, more than customers, more than thrill seekers, we are to be the people of thanksgiving because we are the people of God. Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5. After we see this, how we express our thanksgiving, verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. Do you know that this morning? Like, know it. Deep in your bones that the Lord is God. No one else is. Anything else that we label as a God is not even a God. It's something we've created to think that it could be a deity. There is only one God. Do you know that? And here's what's incredible about the rest of verse 3. It is He who made us, and we are His. I mean, think about that for just a second, Christian. Genesis 1 and 2 tell us about how we are made in the image of God. And God didn't just send us out, just say, you're on your own. That as His people, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and through the resurrection, we are His people. We are His people. God is the creator and we are His wonderful creation. And then we see that God is the shepherd and we are His sheep. We looked at this last week at Psalm 23 about how a shepherd cares for his sheep. Not only has God created us in His image, but He cares for us because we are His. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. This unique relationship is one of intimacy. We're not disconnected to God, but He's close to us. I'm specifically talking about Christian people, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. He is close to us. He is guiding us. He is leading us every step of the way. If you're in the valley of the shadow of death, where is Jesus? He's with you. You're on the green pastures. Who's with you? Jesus. And he led you there. He is ever present with us. And as we looked at Psalm 23 last week, Jesus is all that we need. Nothing more, nothing less. Christ is enough for me. This is the relationship that we have with God. Do you know this? Do you know that the Lord, that he is God? It is he who made you. You are a part of his family. This is the relationship that you have with God. This is why we are to be people of thanksgiving, because we are the people of God. And as this text continues to say, this is your reality, Christian. When you're looking in the mirror and trying to figure out what's next, you are a child of God, first and foremost. When you're trying to place your identity in your work and maybe the enemy is feeding you these lies where you're a failure because you're not this, you're not this, you're not this, the Word of God tells us that because of Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the King. As Hebrew tells us, we can approach the throne room of God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus and do it with boldness, knowing that like a father welcomes his children into his arms, this is what God does to his children. Because of Jesus, we can enter into the presence of God and say thank you. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Go into the presence of God and just tell God thank you. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Within our relationships, we often take for granted the people that we have a relationship with. Maybe we use them for our own interest. Or maybe they use us for their interest. Kids think they exist to be served, right? I mean, there is a point where you're just trying to teach them, but there are things they just can't do. Kids think they exist to be served, and it frustrates us because they have not yet valued who we are and what we have already done for them. I mean, I often wonder, do kids learn to complain from us about the things that they don't have? So when they complain, and then our response is like, well, I gave you a roof over your head, you should be happy. And that's just ingrained in every dad, apparently, because it's just, my dad said to me, I've almost said it a couple times, but I'm going to wait a few more years for it to have a really solid impact on it. But maybe we lose sight of the relationship that we have because it's not an intimate relationship. It's a give and take. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. If we are not careful, this is how we treat God. God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. God, you better do this for me. Colossians 3:17 reminds us that this is not the relationship that we have with the Father. This is a walk in and commune with him. This is the relationship that's being restored that we saw that God had with Adam and Eve before sin, walking with them, just enjoying time together. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, this covers everything, all right? If you're sitting here today, this is included in whatever you're doing. If you're saying something, this is included. In whatever you do, in word or do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, comma, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I was reading this verse and I'm like, man, how often do we just stop at, hey, give glory, in all that you do, give glory to God. But Paul continues and says, giving thanks. While you're giving glory to God, you're giving thanks to him as well. Give glory to God. The relationship between us and the Father is not about us. It's about the glory of God. God does not exist for us. God exists for God. We exist for God. We exist for his glory. God is not a magic genie where we get three wishes and we just want to use them well, in hopes that we can have this grand, better life and prosper. No. While God can grant and give us anything. Ultimately, what we need from God is God himself. Colossians 2, Paul continues. The more I read Colossians, the more I'm like, man, this is just shows us so much about God's goodness and how we're to be thankful for him. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Live in that relationship with Jesus. Live in the righteousness of Jesus, rooted and built up in him, meaning you're growing in Jesus Christ. Now you're founded on Jesus, you're growing up in Jesus, and you're established in your faith. This is firm-rooted tree trunks here, okay? This is how we are to be. New believer, this is how you're to grow into Christ-likeness. Get firmly rooted in Jesus. Established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving along the way. Overwhelmed with thanksgiving. Just saying, thank you, Lord, that you have saved me from my sins and for all that you've done. God does not exist for us. We exist for God. And for God alone. And if we need a reason why we should express thanksgiving, I don't know if we have to give a reason of like why you should be thankful for God. Verse 5 gives us the reason. Because I think sometimes we just miss it. Psalm 100, verse 5. We express our thankfulness to him. We know that we are his people and we're to be people of thanksgiving. Why? Why are we to do this? Verse 5. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. I mean, we could stop right there and just be like, all right, I'm going to be thankful because the Lord is good. And then it keeps going. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to his name and to his holiness and to us endures forever. If that's not a reason for us to say thank you, then maybe we don't know that the Lord is God. Maybe we have missed who Jesus is. We are to be a people of thanksgiving because of who God is and what he has done. Verse 4 commands us, this whole chapter commands us, sing with thanksgiving. Serve with thanksgiving. Speak with thanksgiving. Enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving. It's unfortunate that the scriptures even have to command us to be thankful to God for who he is and for what he's done. And throughout the book of Psalms, this collection of songs that were sung in the temple, there's a whole bunch of them. Read one a day. I mean, that's off to a great start if you just read one a day. Throughout this collection of psalms, you'll see a constant theme, a celebration of who God is and what he's done. And Psalm 136 gives us just a glimpse of that. If you read the psalms enough, you'll see a lot of them are saying the same thing. And I want to look at how we are to be thankful for who God is and for what he has done for us. And I want to read Psalm 136. Psalm 136 says, and it's on the TV screen, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. If you're wondering where we read that before, it's from Psalm 100. And this is not the only two places it's found in the book of Psalms. If you keep reading, you'll see those same words over and over and over. This was this. We want to ingrain the people of God with this verse right here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. There's one verse to memorize in the month of November. It's this one. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. When there's a moment where you want to complain about, I mean, we could pick and choose the topic right now, right? I mean, there's three of them that we could really start complaining. If I just mentioned the words, everybody would be like, shh. But maybe we stop and say, okay, I've just read this Facebook post. It really annoys me. Before I make the comment and complain or yada, yada, maybe I step back and say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Having a hard time at work? You're wondering why you're stuck in this job? They make you work Thanksgiving Day? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good. All right. having a hard time with your kids at home. Mamas, you're tired, been up all night with the kids. They just don't seem to sleep or eat or do anything that you want them to do. And before you just, in that moment of weakness where you just, no one's been there, right? Okay. To stop and say, okay, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Or maybe when you're stuck in traffic, on your way home from Thanksgiving dinner, listening to the sermon today, before you get angry, to stop and say, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords for his steadfast love endures forever. How long does his steadfast love endure? Just in case we didn't miss that there, okay? And just in case we already forgot it, verse 4. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. In fact, if we keep reading, we're going to see the same line. So I'm going to read the first part, and you're going to follow along with the second part, okay? To him who by understanding made the heavens. All right, that was with great enthusiasm. We got it up here? All right. Here we go. Let's try again. Verse 6. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. We're getting there. To him who made the great lights. All right, don't be surprised. It's coming again, okay? The sun to rule over the day. All right, I hear it from this side of the room. I'm going to need some help from the left, my left side, all right? The moon and stars to rule over the night. All the men, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. All right, ladies, and brought Israel out from among them. All right, kids, help me out. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Outstanding. All together, to him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. All right, we're fading a little bit. Let's get a little louder. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. It is he who remembered us in our low estate. And rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. How long does the steadfast love of the Lord last?
Forever.
And that's why at the end of this chapter it says, give thanks. And if you notice through this psalm, there are a host of different events that are taking place in the nation of Israel. After they defeated one army, what did they say? For his steadfast love endures forever. It's not about us. This is about the glory of God working in our lives. So throughout the psalm, we see that we're to be thankful for who God is. So thank you, God, for being good. Thank you, God, for being good. Psalm 136, 1. And the end of Psalm 100, verse 5. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I mean, I feel like just saying it out loud just doesn't quite capture how good and great God is. I mean, if we were truly captivated by his goodness, why would we dwell so much on the bad? Yes, there are times and seasons to grieve. And there are times and seasons to push back and to get involved. But in the bad, God is good. In the good, God is good. Thank you, God, for being good. second prayer of thanksgiving for who God is thank you, God, for being greater than our idols. I don't know if on this side of earth, on this side of heaven, sorry, that if we truly recognize, as we continue to fight sin, that God is greater than our idols. Give thanks to the God of gods. Just so the psalmist is clear, God is greater than any god that we think we can imagine. He is greater than any hobby. He is greater than any toy. He is greater than any sporting team. He is greater than any book. He is greater than anything. Anything that we say and think that this is what would give me joy and pleasure, God is greater than that. Thank you, God, for being greater than our idols. Third prayer of who God is. Thank you, God, for being the sovereign authority over all things. I've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, because I think in our society, and if you read in Psalm 136:3, it says, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. This is specifically talking about kings and kingdoms. We get so caught up in the affairs of government that maybe we lose sight that there is no sitting person in any office around the world that has the sovereign rule that God has. They don't now and they never will. That God is enthroned forever. We just prayed through that in Psalm 9. That we hold to the God who is Lord of Lords. Thank you, God, for being sovereign authority over all things. That when it just looks bad, and maybe you're wondering why in the world are people doing this, maybe step back and say, thank you, God, for just being in control of it all. That even as this world seems to be just continue to be a hot mess, it's not out of your hands. Throughout the Psalms, you'll see those three themes of who God is. God is good. God is great. God is sovereign over all things. But those themes not just celebrate who he is, but also what he's done. From this text in Psalm 136, three additional prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for your beautiful creation. Verses 4 through 9 there talk about this. To him alone who does great wonders, to him who by understanding made the heavens, to him who spread out the earth above the water. I mean, this is talking about all of God's creation. Thank you, God, for creating a beautiful creation. To look up in the stars and say, hey, God created those too. And not just, he had to work real hard with his hands. I mean, he spoke it and he said, let there be light, and the light showed up. That's the powerful creator who created all things. Maybe the prayer we start every day with includes, thank you, God, for saving us through your son, Jesus Christ. When you see in the bulk of that chapter, the people of Israel going over, being delivered from Egypt, crossing over the Red Sea, and they're fighting these different armies and they're being delivered. This is a wonderful picture of what Jesus has done for us. He has delivered us out of our bondage to sin. He is leading us to eternity in heaven with him, and he's defeating our sin along the way. He did it once and for all at the cross, but along the way, when we seek forgiveness, there is power in his death and resurrection for today. Have we stopped and said, thank you, God, for saving us through your son, Jesus Christ? Thank you that you saved a sinner like me. I mean, this is what grace is. We did not deserve salvation, but God gave it to us freely through his son, Jesus. And we get to verse 25, the end of Psalm 136. To thank you, God, for providing for our needs. He who gives good, who gives food to all flesh. that the lights that we have on at our house, the food that we have eaten a bunch of the last couple of days, the clothes we are wearing, these are good gifts of common grace that God has given us. Thank you. This is why I tell our kids multiple times when they're when Colton's playing sports, like, hey, we can say thank you to God for the game of baseball. It is in out of his creative mind, and he created human beings who had the creative ingenuity to say, let's create this game that people will watch and play all the time, or basketball, or reading a book, just to say thank you, God, because all of this comes from you, ultimately comes from you. Not just our entertainment, most importantly, thank you, God, for providing our needs. I've had a dishwasher that has been broken. A dishwasher, like I have three. And I have one, all right? And it broke a couple weeks ago. I don't know what happened. And I went to Bible school and not electricity school or whatever they call it. So I, you know what I did when Julie texted me, like, hey, dishwasher's not working? You know what I did? I went up to it and opened it. I was like, all right, I don't know, it's broken. I don't know what happened. And I've been kind of frustrated about it because I haven't had the time to just stop and, like, dig into it and figure out what the issue is. If you haven't checked, dishwashers are stupid expensive right now, all right? We're not going to complain about inflation, okay? Right? I'm going to be thankful for the Lord. Because as I'm looking at this the other day, I'm Googling, and I'm like, all right, check the breaker, flipped it, you know, nothing happens. I pull it out from the wall. I check that there's power going from the line in the wall to the dishwasher. The wires are all tied in. The latch is good. There's nothing in the wall. I'm like, I don't know. This is a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'll look at it later on. Now we're teaching our kids how to wash dishes. Well, Thanksgiving morning, I got time in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to figure out what's wrong with this dishwasher. If I have to get into the nuts and bolts of it, I'm going to figure it out. If not, I'm going to have to figure out how to buy a new dishwasher. And I go over there, and I push a button, and the lights came on. And I'm like, well, that's a surprise. I'm like, I did not expect that. I don't know what happens. I joke that I told Julie, I'm like, listen, I can repair anything now. I just touch it, and it works. But ultimately, I know. I really do believe that the Lord saw this need. And what a crazy gift a dishwasher is. I mean, for all of history, except for the last, 50, 60 years, we've been washing dishes by hands. But yet, this was a frustrating thing for me, and God said, I'm going to provide this need for you. I really do believe that somehow God mysteriously fixed that. I don't think it was me just pushing buttons and kicking it once or twice to see if it'll work. But to stop and say, thank you, God, for providing for our needs. When you buy a new pair of shoes for your kids, to encourage your kids, hey, let's thank God that he's provided these shoes for our feet. This is why we pray before we eat. Thank you, God, for this food that you've provided for us. Thank you for the chef who cooked this. Thank you for mom or dad who cooked this. Thank you for fill in the blank. What if we taught our kids that thanking God every day is a normal part of our language? The children of Israel never learned this. God delivered them out of Egypt, as we just witnessed. They walked across dry land through the Red Sea. And you know what they did along the way to the Promised Land? Grumbled and complained, and grumbled and complained, and grumbled and complained. And we look at that and say, we would never do that. And here we are, losing sight of the goodness and grace of God in our lives. Psalm 136, 26 closes out and says, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. So Christian, let's be a people of thanksgiving. Let's not forget about Thanksgiving until next year. But let's begin today by telling God, thank you. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. So what do we do now? Here's how I want to encourage you this week. I know some of you have written the psalm of a lament the last couple weeks. I know some of you did your 10 things from last week. Today, I want you to write a thank you card to the Lord. I mean, go out and buy a letter or a card. Don't just put this on some printer paper. Like, I want to get the card, okay? You're not going to mail it to him. But maybe stick it in your Bible and write a thank you card to God. Like you would when you got a gift from someone. And write it out. Write a thank you card to the Lord. And then this morning respond with, we have it on the screen, these blank statements. I am thankful because Jesus is, fill in the blank, or I am, and in our moments of discouragement and frustration, but Jesus is. I want us to continue looking at the goodness of God's character in our lives. Because we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Most importantly, to be thankful for the saving grace that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, you are good. You are good. There are times where I just can't explain it even more than that, how good you are. Help us not take for granted all that you have done for us and all of who you are. That you are gracious and present with us. That you provide for our needs. That even the paychecks that we earn come from you. And help us to be mindful that every day is an opportunity to say thank you. As we sing, this is a way we can express our thanks to you. As we speak to others to say thank you. As we serve to say thank you. I pray that we will be a people of thanksgiving. To just encourage one another. Love one another. Knowing that we are here by your grace and your grace alone. So this morning, as we pour out our praise to you, help us not to lose sight of what Jesus has done for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll convict our hearts of the sin that we have been harboring in our hearts, that we know that you are fully aware of. Will you forgive us, Lord? That we'll be thankful for your forgiving grace. Thank you that your steadfast love endures forever. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing this morning.